Keep it fast and stay close to me.
He died with honor.
No, Will. He just died. I'm tired of it.
You, me, all of us. We're all out there dying so they can stay rich.
Tax collectors coming around here, taking everything. We have nothing for the winner.
Girls, you know how to shoot one of these?
It's quite an armor you got there.
Last time I checked, the gun don't care who's pulling the trigger.
You know they shoot deserters, don't you?
Hello. They runaways?
Please shoot.
They're gonna die so they can get rich selling their cotton.
That's why we left them.
No man ought to tell another man what he's got to live for or what he's got to die for.
I don't have the patience with five or six deserters hiding out in a swamp.
You ready?
Just hang them.
See anything?
He's out there. You won't miss this.
This fight's for our children and their children's children.
From this day forward, we declare the land north of Pascagoula Swamp to be a free state of Jones.
They're poor farmers, deserters,
who, frankly, sir, don't have much to lose.
The winds are shifting. And you can't fight with this guy.
There's plenty left to fight for.
Good morning. As mentioned, my name is Devon McDonald. I was here in, I believe, November and did the service this morning. I do want to thank Pastor for inviting me back. I want to thank Eric for his awesome introduction and give it up for the band. I mean, you know, thank God they have the gift, right? Because I love to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Definitely. Let me pray. Dear God, thank you this morning for your grace, your mercy, your faithfulness. I need you, dear God, and I thank you for the 8 o'clock service or the 9 o'clock service, 9:30 service, and now we're going to press forth into this service, dear God. We pray that your will be done, your kingdom will come, that you reign and rule. This all belongs to you, dear God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay, you guys just saw the trailer to Free State of Jones. Awesome movie. I had the pleasure of watching the movie. Now, I'm not a big movie guy. Most of the movies I've seen in my life are children movies because I have two children. Now they're more like teenagers and almost a young adult. My oldest one is Jasmine. She's going to be a senior at the University of Indiana. She plays volleyball. And Tuesday coming up, on the 5th, we'll be going over to Italy, where she has made the Europe brand of the national United States team. So, just tremendous. Yeah. I've always wanted to go to Europe, and God knows how to get me there. And my younger one is Rachel, and she's going to be a junior at Cathedral High School, who, by the way, finished up number one in the country last year in volleyball. So, he has some stiff competition coming up because coach said to me yesterday, 71 players are going to try out, and she doesn't care who, because my older one played as a freshman. She made a varsity as a freshman because she's going to put the best product out there. And my wife, of course, I said she's beautiful and fine, and she's mine. Right now, she's downtown Indianapolis because there's a tournament, a tournament in town, the last one basically after club season. So that's why she's not here gracing you guys' presence today. And so those are the most of the movies I watch. Finding Nemo, been there, done that, right? I've seen Nemo more times than y'all could count, right? Almost. My favorite movie is Ratatouille, by the way. A rat that can cook. Come on, man. I mean, you don't get no better than that, right? Absolutely. The Free State of Jones. I mean, awesome movie. I mean, when you get at the principle of what he's talking about, here's a man that was a medic in the Confederate Army, and as you saw the trailer where he brought the young boy, he's trying to get him to another place, and in turn, shouldn't have stood up. He stood up, got shot in the heart, and he literally died in his arms. And he took him back to his mother and stayed. Newt Knight stayed. He deserted the army because he started to figure out, what am I really fighting for? What am I out here fighting for? And with that, he got connected to a group of escaped slaves, and they formed a militia that did some amazing thing. And so we're going to talk about that today because it's a great story of leadership. It's a great story of overcoming odds. It's a great story about making a bold move. And that's a theme that you're going to hear today. You kind of heard a little bit of it from Eric. My title today is Making a Bold Move by Faith. When I talked to the pastor about about preaching today, he mentioned about the movie. Well, I hadn't seen the movie. But he began to tell me about the movie, and then he told me about the trailer. Then I had a chance to watch the trailer, and when I watched the trailer, I said, wait a minute. This kind of reminds me of a book I just finished up reading. And the book I read was Hand Me Another Brick by Chuck Swindoll. And what he's talking about was the book of Nehemiah. And when I saw, as I listened about and started to hear about Newt Knight, I say it kind of reminds me of Nehemiah. There's some parallels there. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king Artaxerxes, right? He was a cupbearer, and what's a cupbearer? Well, a cupbearer is like a secret service man. If there's a bullet coming, the secret service is supposed to step in front of the president, like they did with President Reagan, and take the bullet. Well, a cupbearer, if they poison the king, if somebody slips some cyanide into the wine, he's supposed to drink it, taste it first, and if he dies, then we know don't drink that. Right? And so that was his job. It's a very important job. You know, it's a life and death type of job, you know? Serious job. And so that's what he did, and he did it great. But then he heard about what was going on in Jerusalem. And what was going on in Jerusalem, his hometown, was that the walls were broken down. The wall was broken down. And so he took it upon himself. And then the story is basically he went there and rebuilt the wall. But there are some parallels in the story. Because when we look at Nehemiah, and then the movie will teach us a few things. Now, when I talk about the book, I'm talking about not Chuck Swindoll book, I'm talking about the book of Nehemiah. Because they both were leaders and they both were passionate and they both made these bold moves. When I say bold move, automatically we think about this, heroic, something, somebody doing something that seems subhuman. And that's not always the case. Because, see, we all have experiences. When I got a B in school, I was like, yeah. I see my daughter get a B and she got a sad look on her face. Because it's all relative. I played in the NFL and I remember I played on the special team, on the kickoff team. I was in the five position. What's the five position? I'm next to the kicker. And what is my job? My job is what you call a wedge buster. What is the wedge, you ask? It's four guys coming like a train. Their average weight is about 290 pounds. And their job is to flatten me. And sometimes I was successful, and then sometimes I was unsuccessful. And when I woke up with smelling salt going over my nose. But for some of you guys, a bold move might be turning in school and looking at the bully and say, don't do that. That don't feel right. A bold move for somebody in this place might be loving your wife as Christ loved the church. A bold move might be becoming the employee that you're supposed to be. But whatever the bold move is, I believe God has ordained for us to make bold moves in our lives. And both of these guys made some bold moves as we're chronicling. I believe they won because God was with them. And that's one of the things you can be assured of. As you go through life and God is going to cause for you to make some bold moves, you can trust and rest and rely that God is going to be with you, that you can depend on that. They both were totally convinced of their purpose. They had no doubt. And if they had it, they didn't show it. They were convinced, and I think being convinced is a condition of the heart. You're convinced right here, because once you're convinced in the heart, you go and do it. When you are convinced in the heart, you become unstoppable. And I believe every one of us got gifts and talents. Every one of us have a purpose that God made you, the way he made you. Today, I'm not only one of the speakers in this company, Sports World, where we send our former athletes into school to share personal life experiences with students, helping them to recognize the consequences of their choices while challenging them with a message of hope, H-O-P-E, helping other people to excel, sharing Jesus Christ, even in the public schools. And you can do that today. You can tell them your story. Because if Lawrence Taylor, who I watched, who one day was the greatest linebacker, and that's one of the reasons I became a linebacker, well, guess what? The man I am today is because my reflection of and who I serve is Jesus Christ. I could tell you my story. Now I can't tell you what to do, the law says. But that's my purpose today. Do you know your purpose? Do you know why God created you? So if you don't know, I can help you. You want my help? Say amen. Amen. There we go. Here's the help. You know it's God's purpose for your life if number one, what you're doing is drawing you closer to him. You'll know it. If what you're doing is taking you away from church, taking you away from reading your scripture, taking you away from your family, you got to say, is this what God really ordained for me? Then here's the next thing that you can use as a litmus test. Are you affecting people? That's it. Those are the two things you can look at. Am I getting closer to God? And is what I'm doing, is it helping people? Is it affecting people? Is it drawing people closer to God? Because Jesus said this, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That easy. Great commandment. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, that means stay connected with me and I'll make you one that able to bring people to me. So for you guys, I do know your purpose. There's some strategies, I think, from these guys, from the movie and from the book of Nehemiah, I think can help us, and that's what I want to talk about in the next few minutes. Because when we look at Jesus, I believe he's the perfect paradigm for this. Now, Jesus did something when he was here, right? I mean, did some bold things. I mean, he made some bold moves. I mean, if you remember when he came into the temple and they were gambling and doing things in the house of God, just imagine at Cross Point, they got a poker table over there. Oh, yeah. I mean, they were buying and selling doves and some stuff wasn't right. And so they had it on these tables. Now, a bigger table than this. They said the tables were about 200 to 300 pounds. And you know what Jesus did, right? He overturned the tables. Yeah, Jesus had guns, yeah. And he did that because he had a passion and a purpose. But that's what he did. What is he doing right now? Because if he's alive. Isn't that what we celebrate at Easter? He is alive. I mean, he is living. So if he's living, because remember now, when he was raised from the dead, he did eat fish. Dead man don't eat fish. They don't. So he's alive. So if he's alive right now, what is he doing right now? Is he just chilling out in heaven like, okay, I'm just chilling, you know? No. He's working. Can I tell you what he's doing? Real quick. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to what? Intercede. Intercession is prayer. And who is he praying for? Himself? No. He's praying for you and me. He's praying for us. He is praying for us. Somebody in this place probably never knew that. Never knew that Jesus was praying for you. You think it's always we gotta pray to God. Well, Jesus loves us so much. He prays for us. He is praying for us. Well, the next thing is John 4:3. It says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. What's the next thing he's doing? He's preparing. He is preparing a place for you and me. Now, he said that in my Father's house, there's many, many mansions. So it's conceivable, and a lady at my work did the study. She said, literally, it's going to, when heaven comes to earth, this is so high, so many miles up in the sky. So literally, everybody can have their own mansion. What Jesus is doing right now, he's praying for us, and he's preparing. And we are made in God's image. Isn't it amazing that in the beginning, when God created heaven and the earth, when he made man, he showed us that he's a God of preparation, didn't he? I mean, did he make form Adam and say, oh, yeah, let me go get some birds. Oh, yeah, let me go get some... No, he made all that, then he created man and put him in there. But we do the same thing, too. Anybody have young children? Like, almost baby? Like, little fast baby? Yeah. So when you guys had the baby, did you have the baby and then ran to the store and got bassinet and then got diapers? No, we don't do that, do we? And I love what Jesus said. He said, we being evil know how to do these things. How much more shall your heavenly Father, you know, give unto you the Holy Spirit? But the context here where we're staying in is that he's a God of preparation. And that's what he has ordained for us to do. So as we walk in this way, preparation is so important. So, here it is. When you make a bold move in faith, first thing you need to do is in prayer. It's to pray. It's to be bold in your prayer. Boldness in prayer. And when you look at the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah had this. Nehemiah had this. I mean, look at it in Nehemiah 1:5-11. And I'm going to read it in its entirety. Because this prayer is so key. Here is what it says. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keep a covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgment which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you among many nations. But if you return to me, turn back to me, and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I've chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants, thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. And the last one, O Lord, I beseech thee, let thine ear, and he says it again, thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, right? And to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king cupbearer. Prayer is so important. And so when you read this, you read Nehemiah, what it says in verse 4 basically is that he fasted and prayed many days. Well, when I read that, many days mean maybe 3 or 4 days to me. Well, Chuck Swindoll said, man, this guy prayed 42 days. I'm like, who does that, man? I mean, who prayed 42 days about one subject? Now, 42 seconds, I can see that. 42 minutes, yeah. 42 hours, But 42 days, wow. Simply amazing. But he did that. You know, we live in a microwave society, right? We want it quick, we want it now. Come on, man, you got an app for that, right? And Burger King, right? Have it your way, right? We want it our way. But he prayed. And because he prayed, he was at a position now to hear from God. And that's why prayer is important. There's a song that says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. PJ, that's a hymn. That's a nice little hymn, right? All because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. And the problem is we pray and we don't get an answer right away, and then we say, oh, it don't work. But let me ask you this. How many of us go in the gym, grab that weight, okay, good, I'm done. Woo! I'm going to get stronger now. How many of us take one step, did my cardio for the day? It doesn't work like that. But we work prayer like that. And we say, it doesn't work. No, it only works if you work it. It only works if you're working it. And the more you do, you'll be amazed how, and here's the thing, a lot of times, 8 o'clock didn't get some of this, y'all, by the way, or the earlier service. A lot of times, prayer changes you before it changes situation. It changes your perspective, because God wants to know, do you really want, you want me, or you want me to change that? Okay, a lot of times, if we get that change, guess what? God, we don't really need you. Come on now. How many of us, when you are with your child, teaching them how to ride a bike, and they're riding down the street, and here you are with them, and you helping them, as soon as they get it, they say, get away, get away, get away. I got it, I got it. Because they want to show to everybody that I can do it, right? Well, we do God the same way. And God is saying, no, man, I want to be with you. And that's what prayer does, right? That's what prayer does. And so praying is very important. The next thing is this. When you want to make a bold move in faith, you need to have boldness in preparation. As I said, Jesus, two things he's doing right now. He ever lived to make intercession praying, and he's preparing. And Nehemiah prepared. After he prayed, he went to the king. And if you know the story, the king said, why are you looking so sad? You never look sad. And now it was almost a sin to look sad before the king. Because how you going to, I mean, the king who got can do anything, give you anything, and you come looking sad? But his heart was so touched by his people. And so he asked the king for some resources. Because he knew when he arrived in Jerusalem, he needed to take care of some business. He didn't wait till he get to Jerusalem before he bought and got the product. He knew the wall is torn down. Let me get supplies. Let me get letters, because I'm going to go through some provinces, and in these provinces, they're going to have some kings who say, no, I can't let you through. But when they see the signet from this king or Texas, they're going to let him through. And that's what happened. So he was prepared. He was prepared, and because he was prepared, he went in and did what God called him to do. In Nehemiah verse 7 and 8, in 7 and 8, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah, Jerusalem, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Amen. Awesome. And so he was prepared. He was prepared for the work. And so my question to us today, what are you preparing for? What are you preparing for? And the next thing is this, when you make a bold move in faith, you need to have boldness in your production. As you're producing, and you will produce. Because if you're in prayer and you are prepared, the next thing that follows is production. And he was producing, because as he's beginning now to build the wall of Jerusalem, rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, here he is now. He is rebuilding it. And it's happening, man. But guess what comes next? Obstacles, enemies. And I guarantee you guys and ladies, as you begin to be productive in life, you're going to have enemies. They're going to come. It comes with the territory. It comes with the territory. And Nehemiah had some enemies. He had three guys in particular. Sanballat, Geshem, and Tobiah. And them guys was trying to stop the work that he was doing. And whether you're a new Christian or the devil doesn't care who you are. He don't care how long you've been saved. Really, he wants you, the more ignorant you are, the better for him. So what pastor is doing, what I'm doing today is to educate us. Because we all are dealing with something. We all, every one of us. But if we understand that we have enemies in our life, but the victory is we're not alone. That God is with us. Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. That we are well able. And Newt Knight, the victory that he had over the Confederate Army was unbelievable. When I watch the movie, it's like, wow, I didn't know that. I'm a history guy, so I love history. More likely we'll be watching it again, because there's some great things there. And it was a historical movie. So even within the movie, they're giving you little excerpts of things that actually happened, even some pictures from actually what happened back in 1862. And here's the final thing as I finish. The scripture says in Romans 1 and 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just, yeah. The just. that as you come to Christ, that's the standard that he has for us. It's not a weird word. It's a good word. Just. Justified. I'm just before God. When he looks at me, he don't see Devon's mess and all that. Why? Because the righteousness of God is upon me, Jesus Christ. So I'm just before him. It's like your children. They did something bad, and they don't really want to be around because they know what they did bad. But then you forgive them. And now they're not scared to come around you. Because why? They feel, well, that's what it means to be just. And the struggles in our life, is God allow these things in our life to bring us to this place, guys and ladies. So that we're not only, when I hear of a situation where somebody might have cancer, somebody got a remember, lost a job, something traumatic, and that's when we pray, and that's when we seek God. It's like, no, God wants it to be a lifestyle. That's why he said, the just shall live. Live by faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. Because God is going to cause us to make bold moves. Somebody diagnosed with cancer, you will make bold moves. Boldness in prayer, boldness in preparation and production. Well, as I said, I played in the NFL. And when I played in the NFL, my last team was the Arizona Cardinals. And I played this game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tony Dungy. And when we played this game, of course they beat us. That's what Dungy does. But there's a guy on the opposing team. His name is Demetrius DeBose. Demetrius was an All-American linebacker at Notre Dame. And what Lou Holtz would say about Demetrius, he would say, Demetrius, son, I would love to buy 10% of your future. Because you got a bright future. Demetrius was drafted by in the second round by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He went down there. Well, there's an all-world linebacker down there in there, Harley Nickerson. And he wasn't going to play. He was second team. Well, something went wrong in Demetrius' life. Well, here we are playing in 1996 on the field, and as we're playing, we finish the game, and we're walking off the field. I took off my helmet. He took off his helmet. Man, he had dreadlocks. I mean, in college, we just had this type of hairstyle. It's easy to maintain. But as we're walking to the locker room, and, you know, they have a new stadium now. Back then, the stadium that they had was a Sun Devil Stadium. It was actually Arizona State College Stadium that we played at for many, many years. They rented it out. As we're walking, I heard a voice in my head said, Devon, tell him about me. So you see, when I went to Arizona, I think God took me away from Indianapolis so he can deal with me. In Arizona, I bowed my heart and allowed Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. That's when I made that decision. Well, so I'm walking, and the voice said it, and I said, no, he knows me, man. He won't believe that. And we kept walking and talking, and as we're walking, I heard a voice say a second time, tell him about me. And I said, no. And right before I was going into my locker, into my locker room, and he was about to keep going down because his was a little bit further down, the voice said it one more time, Devon, tell him about me. I said, no, he didn't want to hear it. Well, less than a year later, my friend was out in San Diego. At this time in his life, he got kicked off the football team for some things that he was doing. Went up to Notre Dame, was in a club, pulled down, flooded the whole club. He's out in California. He's now doing beach volleyball. And he actually walked into a bedroom and fell asleep. A young lady who owned the apartment walked in and saw a 6'4", 250-pound man laying on your bed. You will run. And that's what she did. and she called the police. When the police came, they woke up Demetrius. And as he did in college with me sometime with the police, he argued. A fight ensued, and they began to shoot him. It took 9 bullets to stop him. And he died. Now, I don't know where he is today. I just believe scripture. That if you have not received Jesus Christ, it's not hard. It's one of the easiest decisions, easiest way. That there's another destination. Hopefully something happened. I don't know. But we're all going to die one day, and I hope to see him again. Hope. But I share that story, guys and ladies, because I had a chance to make a bold move. And I didn't do it. Like I said, I don't know what that bold move that you need to make. You know it. You're a Christian. You're at work, and they don't even know you're a Christian. You're undercover. Or, man, you're not a Christian. And just like I was prompted to tell Demetrius, you're being prompted right now to make a decision for Christ. I want to encourage you today through the message, make that bold move. There are people here, Eric and some of the PJ. I mean, this boy is talented. I mean, you play music, you basically run the ministry. It's phenomenal. Let me pray. Dear God, I want to thank you today. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for the liberty that we have, dear God, that we can be at peace with you through our relationship in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the fellowship that we have. Thank you for the word that went out today, dear God. I pray it was an encouragement. I pray it was convicting. I pray it was comforting. I pray it was healing, dear God. I pray it was challenging. We don't leave out of here the same way we came in, dear Father. Pray you bless us now as we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. On the card, there are some next steps. And here's, I just have 2 next steps for you. I talked about praying, and I believe in it wholeheartedly. You know what I've been doing lately? Is praying for my family. I don't tell them I'm praying for them. Even standing up here. When I'm talking to you, Lord, have mercy on my family. And think about prayer is this, you don't have to be this long, drawn-out stuff, man. Eric, how you doing? Did I just talk to him? Yeah. It's that easy. God, love you, man. God, thank you, man. It's that easy. I'm close to my family now than I ever been. These men, they were about people close to them. So my challenge to you today, those people right in your home. You see, I speak in schools, and you know what I used to do? I used to step over my children to go minister to some other children. Yeah. Oh, man, they love me. Oh, Devon McDonald. But what about my children? What about them? Oh, man, you at work, you are the king. Are you a king at home? This is an easy way. So this week, as much as possible, pray for your family. Another next step is this. The purpose that God has for you. That this week, you will begin to prepare yourself to be used by God. Prepare yourself. The reason why God don't use many of us, because we're not prepared. We're not prepared. A lot of times we wait for the calling to come to fully come for me to see it before I start. I guarantee if you start getting prepared, it'll make room for itself. All of a sudden, if I start to play piano or play the guitar and practice, it'd be amazing how eventually, you know what? God will make a way. He'll connect me to something. He just does it like that. So that's my challenge to you today. My true challenge. Thank you.